private K-12 schools. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Dwayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Attention all Facebook users, you're invited to click Like WGTD for breaking news, photos, station program information, links to archives, and to interact with WGTD employees and listeners. The page is available to non-Facebook subscribers as well.
Hi, I'm Bob Tenuta of the Gateway Radio Reading Service. We volunteers read the local newspapers to the visually impaired over the radio. Would you like to do the same and not having to move one toe out of your home? Call me at 564-3870.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Kettle Range Meat Company, offering frozen pork and beef cuts, sausages, and whole free-range chickens. Ask about holiday gift baskets and their buyer's club at the market on the first and third Saturdays of each month. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our topic today is an important but a joyous one. I'm here with Danny Carlson, a member of the Board of Directors of the Goodfellows of Kenosha. He's the CFO of Platinum Systems. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Len. How are you today?
Very well. We're excited to have you on board today to talk about the Goodfellows program. Some of our listeners are familiar with it, but I'm sure many of them are not. Tell us, what is the Goodfellows?
Sure. Well, first, thank you for having me on the show and this opportunity to talk to you and everybody out there about Goodfellows. To sum it up, we exist because of the children. What we want to do is provide children of families of need the ability to have a positive, a fun, a rememberable holiday season, and to wake up in the morning of on the morning of Christmas and have a toy to open.
Well, we all know there are many families for whom this is extremely, extremely important. The children are provided with a number of things through the Goodfellows program. It's not just limited to toys, is it?
That's correct. Toys definitely is a big part of it, but there's other things that these children need and these families need. And we focus on toys as well as warm outer garments. So that's going to be coats, hats, mittens, and snow pants, things like that, as well as food. Everybody needs food, and especially around the holidays. So we provide those families with food cards so they can go out and have that special holiday meal.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, I need to disclose, by the way, because some of my listeners know I'm a member of the Board of Directors of Goodfellows, so I'm more than slightly interested in it, and a contributor. And I'll explain why I contribute significantly to the Goodfellows program a little later in the program, and it's because of its efficiency and effectiveness and non-duplication. But we'll talk about all those weird details a little later. Danny, what's the composition of the Goodfellows? Who are the Goodfellows?
Sure. The Goodfellows is a board of 100% volunteers. And so we have members of the Goodfellows who have volunteered for probably longer than I've been born.
That's true. I think so. We have some old-timers
on. And so Goodfellows has been around for a very long time, but we're all volunteers. And so the Goodfellows, what we do as board members is we primarily raise that money. So we can buy these items. We've got other organizations besides just the Goodfellows that are very important to this whole process, and they're called the Holiday House. And so the Holiday House is Goodwill, Women's Children's, and Festival Foods, and many other organizations that help us actually distribute the coats, procure the toys, and the food cards.
I think that's an important point, that this isn't just some solo rogue operation that was founded decades ago, independent of the human services sector of the community.
Right, absolutely. And so we have a lot of people in the community that help out to make this all possible.
About how many people were helped last year, Danny?
We were just over 3,000 children. So I believe it was about 3,050 children that we were able to reach last year.
I think that goes up through the age of 15, the children.
That is correct.
3,000 children through the age of 15. And as I recall, last year the toys alone had a retail value of $40,000.
That is correct.
Now, where do the winter wraps, mittens, hats, gloves, and coats come from?
So a lot of these we purchase, and a lot of them are donated as well. And so if they're donated, they have to be either lightly used or still have the tags on them. We won't take anything that has any kind of visible wear on it, but a significant amount of them are actually purchased at a discount. We have some different vendors that we've worked with that give us very good prices.
And Martino's Master Dry Cleaner makes a donation to the cause by cleaning things that have been lightly used.
Absolutely.
Before they're given away at the distribution sites. So a shout out to Martino's for that piece of their philanthropy for the program. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit more about what are the families like that we help? How is it that we know what we're doing?
Sure. So not every family can actually be registered. So we have a registration process, and they have to be a family in need. And so we have numerous different registration sites, and there's actually a form that will be filled out. But one of the key components is that it has to be a family with children under the age of 15.
And they have to provide proof of need, too,
and
right?
And provide proof of need. And so, again, at the end of the day, we're really doing this for the children. It's for the families, but it's really for the children.
The registration, I believe, is now over for this?
For this season.
Calendar year?
That is correct. The registration process is complete. For families out there that are interested in this for next year, they definitely can go to our website. We've got a list of all of those different registration sites, and that is KenoshaGoodfellows.org.
KenoshaGoodfellows.org, all solid, KenoshaGoodfellows.org, okay?
You betcha. And I'll be saying that a couple of times throughout the show, so don't worry.
The registration is conducted by a number of human service agencies in our area, Goodwill of Southeast Wisconsin, Women and Children's Horizons helps, Kenosha County Department of Human Services Center out at Highways 45 and 50 to out west help, the Urban League of Racine and Kenosha, and the Community Action Agency, Gateway, where we're broadcasting from today, the ELCA Outreach Center, and UMOS are all they're all involved in. Every family that qualifies is pre-registered to participate in any of the three distribution events that we have. Is that right?
That is correct.
Now, how did you get involved, Danny?
This is actually my third year as a board member of Goodfellows. And so my involvement actually goes before that, where I would attend the annual fundraiser event. And after being a part of this event for numerous years, and of course spending lots of money at the event, I thought it would be a great organization to get involved with, because just not as a donor, I wanted to do more than just that donation.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the December 13th Tuesday night event that's going to be at the Parkside Student Center Ballroom, which is really a lot of fun and very heartwarming as well. I'd like to put this in a little bit of context, if you don't mind, Danny. The issue of poverty is an important one. We've talked about it a lot in the political season this year. And I think that it's important for our listeners to have some context for this program, and particularly why it's still important today. You may have heard about something called the United Way Alice Project in the state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Have you heard about that?
I have.
It's not new. It's about 2 years old, this data. But so I'm going to be talking about data from 2014. But I think it's extremely important for our listeners to have a handle on this, because if you understand this, you understand the need for the Goodfellows and a lot of our other human service agencies in the area. I actually was shocked when I first read this. The United Ways of the state got together and did this analysis, and they came up with this term. They call it ALICE, and it's a nice acronym, but what does it mean? Well, it describes families who are 1, asset limited, 2, income constrained, but employed. So people have limited assets built up, no equity in a home or a car, very little in a car maybe, very little savings. Income constrained, they're working maybe at jobs that don't pay a living wage for a family. And but they're employed. The simple term would be working poor. Because the cost of living is higher than what most wages will pay these families, we have a situation where the basic household budget can't be afforded by 42% of the households in the state of Wisconsin, and it's about 50% in Kenosha County. And so we have families that are working hard, employed, fully employed in many cases, who can't afford the basic household budget of housing, childcare, food, transportation, and health care. And there are actually five things I'd like our listeners to remember about what this really means with respect to Goodfellas and the state of our county. I like to think of this by looking at my hand and making an analogy there. There are five things I'd like you to remember. The first thing, let's assign that to the thumb to get a grasp of this issue. 42% of the households struggle to afford basic household necessities, okay? 13% live in poverty, according to the federal standards, which are woefully outdated. An additional 29% fall into the ALICE income-constrained, asset-limited, but employed definition. So having half the people in our county unable to afford the basic expenses supporting their family properly, in a sense, to me, cuts the thumb off of our economy. You can't do much without your thumb, and if you have 50% of your people living in poverty, what does that imply for all the rest of the systems in your county? I think it's pretty profound. The second thing I'd like our listeners to remember is that, put it on your index finger, ALICE households exist in all age groups, from mainly in the years of 25 to 64, households headed by people in the prime earning years of 25 to 64 years of age. That's the largest segment of households that are in poverty or very near poverty or can't really make it properly to take care of their families. It includes married and single parents. That's not the distinguishing factor here. The third thing I'd like people to remember, put that on your middle finger, is that the ALICE households represent a cross-section of the state's population and the county's population. There's no typical household. Households that are in this state of economic stress reflect the demographics of the population in general. So trying to single out, oh, it's only them, is really false. That's just not true. There are some that are overrepresented, some groups that are overrepresented, but it's a true cross-section. The fourth thing, let's put this on your ring finger, is the gap, the idea of the gap between your household income if you fall into this asset-limited, income-constrained, but unemployed group, is that you have earned only 46% of the income you need to have basic economic survival for your family. Okay? Let me go over that again. These households that we're talking about earn only 46% of the income they need to take care of their families properly. And I'd make a special note here. In spite of the fact that poverty level and income-constrained households get supplemented with $14 billion in government, nonprofit, and healthcare support, despite all of that, they still remain between 21 and 43% short of the income needed to reach that threshold of basic economic survival. What do you think about that, Danny?
It's honestly, it's very surprising that it's as large as is what you're saying there. You'd always know that people are in need, but those are some much larger numbers than I would have had thought.
And I found it a slap across the face to see this reality. And I've got one more. I said there were 5 points to put on your hand. So for the little finger, I'd like to assign lots of little causes that create this large percentage of half the households in Kenosha County being in this area, because I think that we need to understand that. And here are the reasons. The cost of basic household expenses is just more than most jobs can support. The cost of living in our state is beyond what jobs support can provide to working households. So this is a really serious issue. Wisconsin became less affordable as well between the period of 2007 to 2014, and this is 2014 data. In spite of the recession and the low rate of inflation, the costs of basic housing, childcare, transportation, food, and health care in our state increased by 14% during the 7 years between 2007 and 2014. And I don't know anybody's wages in basic jobs who've gone up by 14%. Another factor of the cause is that, in general, economic conditions worsened for these households during that same period from 2007 to 2014. Housing affordability and job opportunities are a challenge for these households. And finally, the other little finger reason, all these little reasons add up to a lot of poverty, don't they? Our housing stock in the state and in our own county don't match current needs. Statewide, more than half of the households with income below the ALICE threshold are renter, but fewer than half of Wisconsin's rental units are affordable to these families, these working poor families trying their best to make it through. So that's a lot of stress. And one of the things that occurs to me is that our program of Goodfellas helps reduce that stress, especially at a stressful time, doesn't it? I hadn't really thought about that too much. But
you betcha. So as a family approaches the holidays, you spend every other month doing everything you can to make by, and all of a sudden the holidays come around. And it doesn't matter what economic tier you're in. Around the holidays, you tend to have more expenses. And it's not just the holidays. It's also because it's cold. My children, I know they grow every single day. Every year I have to buy them a new coat. It's a stress if you don't have that liquid money to be able to just go out and buy a coat when they need it. That starts to build up. You want to be able to provide toys for your children to open on Christmas morning. And if you don't have the money to be able, above and beyond your normal expenses, to go buy those items, something has to give. And it's the same thing with food. Is if you want to have family come over, or you want to have a meal that is more than your regular meal, you don't have that extra discretionary income. And so it can become very stressful on the family. And as we all know, the stress of a family, no matter how much you try, it always comes down to the children as well. And so with Goodfellas, we understand that. We want to help provide these items to these families because we want those children to be able to experience it. And we don't want families to have to forego something like being able to make rent or pay their utility bill to be able to provide this for their family.
That's so right. One of the points made in this United Way report on the asset-limited, income-constrained, unemployed households, one of the points of that report was that these are the households that every month have to make a decision. Do we pay off our bills? Can we make the rent payment? Can I buy enough food for this month for the kids? Will there be money for a coat for this cold winter? These trade-offs have to be made every month, and that is really tough, especially tough on the children, right?
Absolutely.
This is Community Matters. I'm Len Iaquinta, and my guest this morning is Danny Carlson. We're talking about the Goodfellas of Kenosha County. And there are organizations like this and human service organizations all around us in our listening area in Walworth and in Racine and in Northern Illinois and Lake County. But we're talking about the one here at home where we broadcast from in the city of Kenosha. The Goodfellas has been around for a very long time, and it really one of the first things it did was have an annual dinner where the people of the community, particularly business people, would gather, spend money, raffles, silent auctions, and whatnot to raise the money to provide, at the very beginning, baskets of food. We don't do baskets of food. It's 2016 now. We do food cards with mag stripes on them. The food basket is a nice memento of the past. But we have all of these things going on because of this event that was started many decades ago.
You betcha.
We talked about it just briefly. Danny, tell us about this event and how people can participate if they'd like to.
Sure.
It's really a lot of fun, and it's not a terribly expensive thing to attend. The tickets are $60 a person for a... It's going to be a full meal, right?
It is a full meal.
Yeah.
And so
really great buffet.
We have a plated.
It's going to be a plated?
It is plated.
Oh, they changed it. Good.
And it is a fabulous meal. Parkside.
Good new caterer at UW Parkside, by the way. They have a new caterer there, and the caterer is really good.
And I have to say, I did just attend the tasting, and the food is superb.
All right.
So I'm really looking forward to it. We want to make sure that everybody who comes has a good time. But we want everybody to have a good time because, well, with all good nonprofits, is we need money. And we want you to have a good time so that way you feel that desire and open up your pocketbook and leave some of your money behind. But hopefully you're having a good time as well. And so this whole event, our main goal, and we have one major fundraiser every single year, and it's this event. And we're looking for any kind of donation. So we want people to attend so that way we have a lot of great silent auction, major raffles, and live auction raffles. We've got a lot of great items this year. If you want to find out what they are, you'll have to attend the event. But we also need people just to make donations. And so we hope that people who attend the event are going to be spending a lot of money. The more, the better, because we have a lot of needy families that we want to reach this year, which actually has increased by a fairly large percent. But we understand that this is just one night, and not everybody can make this night. And so we also look for people who can just make donations. We'll take any donation as small as $5 to as much as somebody is able to do. So we have this great website, Kenosha Good Fellows. .org, and on there you can find a link where anybody can make a donation. Like I said, we want anywhere $5. If you can just reach out and make a $5 donation, it starts to add up.
And you can do that by going to the website, KenoshaGoodfellows.org, and you can click on the link at the top of the page that says How You Can Help, and it'll take you to a page that will give you a clickable link to make a donation online. And can you make a reservation also online for the banquet?
On the banquet, if you...
It looks like you can. I see a form here to fill out.
Yep, there's a comment section.
So it says you can say you're unable to attend and make a contribution, or you can say you will attend and pay your money. You can say you are unable to attend, but you'd like to donate a product or a service for the party. That could be underwriting part of the expense of the party, or it could be providing an auction item. There are lots of ways that people can help, as individuals as well as businesses. So you can do everything right online. I'm looking at it right now, and it's with a greatly improved website, by the way. We had some really good people come in and spruce up the website. So I would encourage people to do that. And parking will be very easy because you'll be able to park in the Parkside Student Center lot, and you won't need any special permit to park for that
Correct.
Event. They will allow you to park. And so you can park right near the door. And you go up the stairs. It's on the second floor. And it's really a very lovely ballroom. And I can't speak highly enough about the quality of the new caterer, which I'm sure will hold up for our event too. Now, there's an innovation about this because we all know that at some of the dinners we attend, checking out when you've bought something at an auction can be sometimes a lengthy process, but we're going to make this if you want it to be, you can still write a check and like you normally would anywhere if you really want to do it that way. But you can just give your credit card to the registration desk when you enter, and they'll set up a system so you can be checked out at the end very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
This very year, professional.
This year we have invested a lot of time into a new cashless system, which hopefully will make this process run very smooth. It allows you to pre-register with your credit card, so that way any items that you want to purchase, either silent auction, you can even purchase your raffle tickets, your live auction. At the end of the day, you don't have to wait in a line or write a check. You can just go right up, collect your items, and enjoy the rest of your evening. And
that's
so
right.
We're really looking forward to this this new system. This will be our inaugural year.
And what time will this start? Do we know?
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock on December 13th. That's when the cocktail hour starts. And then about 6 o'clock is when we'll have dinner starting. And then between 6 and somewhere around 7 o'clock is when all of our live auctions will start and all of that fun.
So when would people be on their way home? People always want to know that on a Tuesday.
Sure. We try to have everything done before 9 o'clock. And last year, we were done before that 9 o'clock. And even better, because of our new cashless event, when we're done, you can just collect your items and leave.
And scoot. By the way, I forgot to mention, we're going to have a parking lot shuttle so that you don't have to walk that far in that lot anyway. But even if you do have to park at a distant space in that lot, there'll be a shuttle running around to bring you right up to the door of the building. And for more information, people can not only go to KenoshaGoodfellas.org, but they can also email Arlene at the following email address, ar@KenoshaNews.com. That's ar@KenoshaNews.com. And Arlene will, who comes in a couple or three days a week to handle this, she's retired from the Kenosha News, and she's a great, great, great volunteer. So she'll help you out, too. And 100% of the donations, by the way, remain in Kenosha County, which is very important to some of our participants. Now, that's not the only way one can participate. There is what we call a grassroots fundraising, and people may have remembered seeing it in the Kenosha News. There'll be a large ad encouraging people to not come to the event or to make an outright donation. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that works, Danny?
Sure. So our grassroots campaign, like you mentioned, we have an ad that goes in the Kenosha News, and anybody can make a donation with this coupon. And we encourage not only just cash donations, but we also have people who want to do in memory of a loved one who may have passed away. And so a lot of great opportunities for somebody to contribute.
And you can do that online, too. You can use that same form online to do that and put the information in the comment section. The ability to make gifts in honor of someone who's living or in memory of someone who isn't is really a wonderful thing. It's very, very popular and very meaningful, especially at this time of year. And those honor roll lists of donors, unless you choose to remain anonymous, and some of us do, will be published in the Kenosha News on a periodic basis during the rest of the season.
Correct.
Now, besides this event and besides making these donations online or through the coupon in the newspaper, there are other ways that we've just tangentially referenced that individuals and particularly businesses can help. Individuals can donate used clothing, and businesses can donate excess inventory to the Goodfellas. And especially items that can be used for the auction, donating items that can be used for the live and silent auction, ranging from trips and use of a condo in Florida to bicycles. There's even some past years we've even had a raffle for a car. I don't know if we're doing that this year.
No car this year.
So you never know what will pop up between now and the event either, because sometimes incredibly great auction items come in toward the last minute. So I'll be holding my breath looking for those. So how would a merchant do that, either this year still or do it for next year? How does that work, Danny?
Absolutely. And so we will take any kind of donation. And everybody who makes a donation, we try to make the process as simple as possible. You can reach out to us either through the website or the AR, AR at KenoshaNews.com. Thank you for that one. Or to just give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to stop by your place of business or wherever is convenient, and we'll pick that item up for you.
Businesses can also participate by buying a table, can't they?
Correct.
How does that work? Buying a table at the event, that is.
Yeah, and so we sell individual tickets at $60 a piece, or a table which gives you 8 seats for $450. And those are, most of the time when we sell a table, that will be for corporations, businesses, and so they'll do a table sponsor.
This is a great fun event to come with your friends from your office, or your spouse or best friend, and it'll be a lot of fun and some good food. And you'll get a chance to get more of a feeling of the kind of good this organization does. One of the things that has impressed me and stimulates me to make a significant annual donation is the what I referred to earlier as the effectiveness, efficiency, and non-duplication of the Goodfellas. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Danny? With respect to efficiency, one of the things I think about particularly, not only is all the system of registration and determining eligibility very professional and handled very professionally, but there is a philosophy of using the money wisely to get the best deal for the buck.
And absolutely.
I mean, I feel that for every dollar I give to the Goodfellas for clothing, toys, holiday meal gift cards, I'm getting maybe at least 30-50% more value out of it than if I went and bought that thing and donated it to a human service charity myself. Tell us how that works and why that's so.
Sure. Well, let's start at the top here. As I mentioned earlier in the show, is Goodfellas is 100% volunteer. Every dollar that we collect for Goodfellas goes directly into the purchases. And so we have no overhead, and so that's something that has always been a part of Goodfellas, always just been a 100% volunteer organization.
And we have the Kenosha News to thank for providing a lot of that infrastructure support that otherwise we would have to pay for.
Correct.
Kenosha News has made over the decades and still makes a huge contribution in loaned executive staff time and in providing the software infrastructure and web services for the Goodfellas. And,
yeah, without Kenosha News, we probably would not have the ability to do a lot of what we do today. And we have Howard Brown to thank for all of that.
We sure do. I miss him terribly.
He started this organization and really instilled his values in the staff of Kenosha News. And not only do they donate their spaces, we meet there frequently, but a lot of their employees are wonderful volunteers.
Very active.
For Goodfellas. And so we certainly thank them.
And they help handle that insane job of pulling together all these auction items and storing them and getting them ready and providing space for that, which is a huge,
there's
huge
a lot
help.
Of logistics that occur. We have a lot of items that go through the doors of Kenosha News, and they certainly provide a very good organization for us to get from the donation to receiving the donation and then ultimately into the hands of the donor at the end of the day.
Thank God we have a locally owned, family-owned newspaper that really cares about the community here in Kenosha County.
And then just to follow up on where this all started was, once we received that money, we have been around for a very long time, and we've developed a lot of partnerships, and we get very good discounts on the items that we purchase. And we want to make sure that what we are providing is something that we would want to give to any child. And so we don't want somebody to get a toy that's broken. So that's why we're buying these new toys. We don't want a coat that has a stain on it. And we certainly appreciate all of these discounts that we receive. And I think everybody in the community knows that this is something that's very important. And it's a great service to be able to provide to these families and then ultimately to these children.
that buying strategy of going in and buying in bulk things that are maybe discontinued, or we go out shopping in the early spring and the late winter, we get toys, we get new toys, we get new wraps that stores are willing to sell us at a discount. And so that's how I feel that my contribution gets doubled because of the efficiency of just that piece of it, plus all the other volunteer work and all the other organizations that support it. Other points you'd like to make about that?
Well, I just want to sum up is we really try to be good stewards of the money that we receive, whether it's how we're spending it on any kind of expense or making sure that we're not overpaying for items. We really want to make sure we're getting the best bang for the buck so we can have the biggest impact in our community.
And you can also see that if you go to the website that there is a list of all of last year's donors that are on there. And there's also a list of the board members on the website, so you can find out who's running the show, and you'll find that it's a who's who of people who are established in the community and who care deeply about the community and are deeply involved in the community. The effectiveness and efficiency are really important things, I think, to donors today. They want to know that their money is being used wisely and being directed to people who are really in need. And because of our strong relationship with these human service agencies in the community, we can feel very, very confident about that, can't we?
Absolutely.
One of the things that interests me a lot is the history of the organization and how it started and why it's such a tradition here. And it really started back in the Great Depression, which I'm thankfully too young to remember, but my parents certainly remember it. And Ralph Kingsley, who was the publisher of the Kenosha News back then, along with some prominent businessmen and industrialists and professionals, decided to found what they called then the Christmas Basket Fund. And now it's the Goodfellows, or Kenosha Christmas Charities is the official name of the organization. So that continued. And after the Depression, it became more formally organized. And then in the early 1990s, we started partnering with a lot of these other organizations in the community, and the Holiday House team was created. And those partners, again, I think this is so important for people to know, that Women and Children's Horizons and Goodwill Industries, the Southern Lakes Credit Union, the Kenosha County Department of Human Services, Shalom Center, Community Action Agency, the Kenosha News, RSVP, UMOS, and the Urban League are currently partners. And we served 3,000 people last year, and the total annual cost to the Goodfellows of all of the things that we've given to families in real need, we're averaging about $75,000 a year, which is really an enormous impact, isn't it? And we expect that to continue. What are your hopes for this event coming up in December? We are hoping for a sellout, I think.
Yes.
What's our capacity?
I believe we have a capacity for 350. We luckily generally sell out every year. So if you want to participate in this event, we recommend that you certainly sign up, get in as early as you can. And like you said, every year we need to collect enough money to be able to get out to all of the families in need. And as I was mentioning earlier, we have reached out and have increased those numbers by several hundred this year. And so we're hoping to surpass the $75,000 mark with this year's event.
Well, I don't think there's been a decrease in need from what I'm reading in the newspapers and hearing from my colleagues in the human services agencies in our community. The needs for toys, so that kids will have something, at least one or two new toys at Christmas, the ability to provide a little bit of an extra special meal at the holiday, and the really essential in our climate outer garments, warm outer garments that fit, is really very, very important. And that will be continuing because of the hard work of people like yourself and the other members of the board. So I want to summarize now a little bit why we're here and how our listeners can get involved. And I encourage our listeners to get involved by perhaps attending the event, contributing an auction item or a service. Some organizations will, lawyers sometimes contribute, you know, writing a simple will or doing a simple contract for you. So professionals can often contribute services as well as, you know, an LCD TV screen or something like that.
And there's one item that, believe it or not, we haven't touched on yet, and we always need volunteers. So this is a major event, and it takes a lot of people to put it on, and we're all here volunteering for the same purpose. And so if you're not able to make a cash donation or a product donation or service donation, let us know if you're interested in helping out. We certainly will use everybody that is able.
And let's go over that contact information again, okay? If you want to call Arlene into the picture and tell her how you could help, you can write to Arlene by email at ar@kenoshanews.com. You can use the form that's a part of the website at www.kenoshagoodfellows.org. You could even pick up the phone and leave Arlene a telephone message. She's not in every day. She's a volunteer and retired, so she's not there 24/7. She's a volunteer just like the rest of us. But her number is 262-656-6322. That's 262-656-6322. Before we do a wrap, Danny, I want to just take a look at those figures for our area with respect from the ALICE report. And just for Kenosha, the city of Kenosha, only 43% of the population in Kenosha County, in Kenosha, I should say, only 43% of the population in the city of Kenosha is above the ALICE threshold. So 43% of the people in Kenosha County have the income for basic economic family security and survival and being able to pay all their bills and maybe put aside a couple of dollars so that they're not wiped out and tossed onto the streets or bankruptcy because of an illness or a car breaking down. That's really an astonishing figure. And I think that really puts into focus why the Goodfellows are so important. So let's go over those dates again. The banquet that people can attend to is when?
That's December 13th.
It's a Tuesday evening.
Tuesday. It'll be held at Parkside from 5 till 9.
And you can pretty much count on getting out of there at 9 o'clock and being home in bed by 10 if you want to be, right?
Absolutely.
The Goodfellows has been around a long time. It's been established in 1930, so we're going on quite a number of decades here. And you can also contribute in more traditional ways by just writing a check or giving your credit card on the web. And the way to do that is to go to KenoshaGoodfellows.org on the web or look for that coupon in the newspaper ad. And when will that start running? Is that running right now? I think it's going to be running very quickly if it hasn't started already. I can't remember the exact date.
Yeah, we should expect to see it, especially with Thanksgiving just around the corner. Just keep an eye out on the paper. And every day we got great articles with the Kenosha News, and it should be within the next week or two. We should be seeing those coming out.
And you can go right now to the website and take care of it and be done with it right after the program, if you wish. I want to thank you. My guest today on Community Matters has been Danny Carlson, a member of the Board of Directors, along with myself of the Goodfellows, Kenosha Christmas Charities, Inc. of Kenosha. We've been talking about how you can participate in making this Christmas and Thanksgiving better for families who are truly in real need. I encourage you all to roll up your sleeves, get involved, volunteer, contribute if you can, volunteer if you can't contribute, in any way that's appropriate, and do hold these others in your thoughts. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Southern Wisconsin Housing Region seeks homeowners to take advantage of a new block grant for housing rehab. Funds